before going too deep into the whole reconstruction, mainly because
that's why we hadn't made plan yet, because we don't know what's down there yet.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, the nice thing about that area is you can pull a belly pan off without tearing the thing completely apart, and you'll see everything down below, and you'll see the floor from underneath, so you'll know, you know, if there's rod issues from below that are not visible up top, and obviously you'll see any rust issues that have developed. And potentially, you know, there are fatigue cracks that show up in these frames as well that, you know, you wouldn't see until you actually really dig into it.
Well, that's a good point. I think I've got a 15,000-pound forklift. We may just have to lift that puppy up big and high enough that we can just walk underneath her and work underneath and above. We'll make a ramp and just walk in above, make it a lot easier to work on, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way we could actually, without having to flip it over, have access to the bottom and pull the wheels, pull the axles, stuff like that, and not have to worry about it much.
Yeah, the other thing is the axles are, a trailer that old, the torsion axles, they sag out, and the rubber rods inside basically get stiff, which you probably
they're not
noticed.
We drove it back down.
Right. The nice thing is, though, you can size new axles in terms of load ratings to suit what you've built. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, as you know, because based on the materials you're using, it's likely to be heavier than it was.
And I have no problem with amping this big up. I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with amping it up a little bit and by doing some of this. I work with long-gauge pine. It's a good wood, but it's also heavier. So I've got to compensate for that, no doubt about it. So that's why I'm going to work with a 3/8 inch. If I put the antique metal skins, they're heavier than aluminum skins. So I'm going to be adding weight and then try to reduce what I can, knowing that I'm going to exceed. So as long as my main frame is in good shape, and I'll look at whether I have to add on to that or not, or beef it up a little bit, and beef up the axle and tires, of course. Most people don't understand how important tires are. It's not just the axle, but it's the tires themselves. You can beef up your axle, but if you don't have good tires, you're dead. And so we're going to play with that a little bit. But I think the most aerodynamic skin you can put on the market, and if somebody's, you know, smart about it, it can be a very good thing, and that's the trick here, is we got to try to do it where we can be smart about it. On the other side of this, though, you also said, what about, are we going to move them all or not move them? If we don't move them, it makes this game a whole lot easier. For the people that want to build an inexpensive house, now we're talking something they can get into. It's the hauling down the road that really changes a lot of the dynamics we're talking about here.
No question.
Once I go ahead and leave it in one spot, then I can go ahead and actually come up from the bottom and prop the whole frame and build from the inside, and the shell on the exterior is nothing but a shell. My interior skin actually holds itself up, and that way I can build a cheap house that anybody could build. And if we want to move it, we'll put it on a darn trailer and take it off the trailer when we get there.
Yeah.
And that gives us a lot of freedom, and that's kind of where I'm going with this, is that it's going to work both ways. But from up north, my God, you guys tackle some projects up there that you just, you know, if it weren't for them bringing it to you, they wouldn't have a song or a prayer to get that thing on the road again.
Yeah, I know they come in pretty rough
sometimes. Yeah, you do miracles. Up north, you guys, I mean, you're driving this, they're driving these things and leaving them out in the snow and everything else. And it comes to you, and you're talking, I'm sure, just complete redos. And you're going to spend, I would be surprised if you spend $100,000 or somebody spends $100,000 for you to do one. You know, a 26 or 28 foot, I mean, it's got to be royally expensive, because the care you have to take, the liability you have when you let that go back out on the road, is immense. And this is what I try to tell people all the time. Driving a wall down the road, calling a box a tiny house and driving down the road is insane, because the logistics, the aerodynamics, the load center, the tongue light factors, all the things that come into play compared to taking an Airstream, I honestly believe this is an easier path for most people.
Yeah, you got to assume, you know, if you're turning it back into a travel trailer, you got to figure 1,000 to 1,500 hours to do one right.
Yeah. And people don't know my houses. We're 3,000 hours to 4,000 hours to build one of my bigger houses. And people go, why are they so expensive? It's like, you know, even at a living wage, you know, that's a lot of money. Right. But you start building with craftsmanship and the kind of quality. You don't just hire Joe Blow from the street and put him in there fixing your Airstream for you.